Are you worried about something today, friend? Pastor Jeff shows us what to do with our worries and anxieties next.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Anxiety and worry. It's an everyday part of life for many Americans. When there are cutbacks at work and your boss says there's no longer a place for you, or the doctor says it's cancer, and you're not sure how you'll be able to pay for treatment, you may start to get anxious and worry. Join us for Sound Doctrine as we have another look at the Sermon on the Mount and hear what Jesus has to say on the subject. Pastor Jeff Johnson is in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 25 to 30. Today he delivers part one of Don't Worry, Be Happy.
We're in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6 this morning. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, almost finished with this incredible chapter. But I want to remind you that this sermon that Jesus is giving is to us as Christians. It is not to the unbeliever. So if you're not a Christian here this morning, just kind of you're easing in on a conversation between our Lord and us. Some things that we need to hear as Christians. And maybe by the end of this morning's message, you'll want to look into what it is as far as being a child of God yourself and having Jesus being able to talk to you as he's talking to us this morning. It is awesome. And then to be able to understand it and bring it to heart and have your life changed by it. So you just hang in there and listen in, and I'm sure you'll get something out of this morning's message also. So this is to Christians. We've been looking at our public life and how to deal with the secular world around us. You know, the modern day Egypt that we find ourselves living in. It's incredible. We are in such a materialistic society, especially here in this nation. The Bible says that we are in the world as Christians, but we are not what? Of it. We're not of it. If anyone, John says, loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. Very important. Very direct. Remember, the answer to worldliness and mammon, we called it. The Bible says it's a name of a god, but it's actually to worship power or money or the things of the world, mammon. The answer to these things is not isolation. We talked about that. Isolation is not good. You know, it's not going to keep you from these things. But being filled with the Holy Spirit will definitely keep you from these things. In fact, it will cause you to be a channel of God's love to a dying world. I found a portion in Acts chapter 4. It starts with verse 31 where he says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak the word of God with such boldness. They were with one heart and one soul, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses, they sold them. They brought the prices of the things that were sold, and they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and the distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." So things became a lot, you know, different to them as far as their outlook on them. They began to look at ways of helping the poor and being able to give to others. And it just breaks down, you know, in a pure way as far as what God has given us in this earth. And you're able to invest in another kingdom. I love what Proverbs says. It talks about that we're to do our best and commit the rest. And Jesus, in speaking to us here about the fowls of the earth and the lilies of the field, when he begins to share that with us, it's not that we're just to kick back and do nothing, because the ant, remember in Proverbs, was mentioned. Why? Because the ant stored up for summer what it needed in the winter, and it was wise in doing that. So he even talks about the little bug called the ant, how he would save and store up, and that's a good thing. But it's our attitude about what we store up that's important, that Jesus is dealing with here. There's a danger in hoarding things, in collecting things. And sometimes you can even get caught up. There's an addiction in collection. There's an addiction with hoarding. It's mine, and I got to get a bigger safe for it. And, you know, and this and that, it's mine. I'm going to have it, you know. And it's there's something about that that just kind of really quenches the spirit, if you will. Then he talks about not only hoarding things, but laying up yourselves treasure on earth instead of heaven. And then he gives us that illustration of, on earth, though, you've got moths. They seem to destroy clothes over a period of time. Then you got rust. All the elements are working towards just bringing this place into just falling apart. Everything's deteriorating. Have you noticed? Even our bodies. Everything deteriorates here, you know? And where rust will get in, or the thieves will steal, you know? You had today, it's gone. Man, now, somebody took it. So we've got to choose who we will serve and where we will invest. And once we've chosen, once we've made the decision who to serve and where to put our treasures, then he starts talking and warning us about worrying about things. Because that's the next step here. Because we're surrounded with superabundance, remember. This is not just what our forefathers came across from east to west in the covered wagons, and they just had the basics of life. No, we now have superabundance. If they saw what we had today, they'd flip out. I mean, we are surrounded with stuff and things. So we have to be careful. And then he says, don't be anxious concerning the temporal. Don't be worried about those things of materialism. You see, it's very unnatural for the child of God. It's unscriptural for the child of God to worry. So the next time you're worrying, remember this, and I pray the Holy Spirit will remind you, you're not being biblical. You're not being scriptural. You're worrying. And he'll bust you in doing that. If we say, in God we trust, and we do print it on our money, yet we're always thinking about riches and things. This is what's so weird about our nation, because we say one thing and then we do another. This is called coveting. The Bible calls it coveting, going after things. And it really, as Christians, let's face it, it cheapens us, doesn't it? As children of God. It cheapens us. Remember in Psalm 73, the writer of the psalm talked about how he envied the rich. He coveted after what they had. And he looked at them and he studied them for a while. And he said, the rich, they just always are smiling and having fun. They're out at the latest parties and they never get sick. I never hear about the rich getting sick. And, you know, and he started thinking about, you know, have I cleansed my heart for nothing? Have I sought the God of heaven for nothing? Is it for nothing? Should I maybe have been rich? Because they look like they're having a good time. They look like they're really enjoying life. And they're saying that that's what it's all about, money. Here Jesus confronts those who are barely making ends meet. Anybody know what that's like? That's always talking to all of us, okay? Barely making ends meet, and yet they're consumed, they're burdened, they're anxious about making it in this world. They're worried about many things. And he's talking to those who are burdened with these, about the future, about what's going on. The poor can be oppressed, and the poor can be oppressed or obsessed by worldliness and materialism. You see, the rich aren't the only ones that have a problem. Because riches bring problems. But the poor also have problems. And that's envy, coveting, wanting to win the lottery. If I could just, it'd be all right. I have everything. You'd have a world to hurt. Your life would be turned topsy-turvy, man. I'm still waiting for the book to be written. Those who won the lottery. And the thing about their lives and how it just fell apart and how they got divorced and how the family hated them and how everything fell apart. Worried about the past, the present, the future. You know, that's why I think Jesus shared with us, when you pray, pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread. In other words, don't let yesterday bother you. It's gone. Tomorrow's not here. What are you doing worried about tomorrow? You got enough just in today to deal with. So pray for your daily bread. Give us this day. So our enemy can use this world to tempt our flesh, to get a grip on our hearts, to apprehend our affections and what we put them on. It can distort our mind and what we're thinking about. The enemy can then take our will, and then our will is only concerned about things. He's very subtle in what he does. And when you think you've won in a certain area, like maybe you've got this whole thing, you know, won as far as this hoarding thing. And I don't hoard anything anymore. I realize that whatever comes to me, God allows me to have. And I've even prayed that prayer in Proverbs where it says, don't give me too much where I'll forget about you, and too little where I'll start to steal. But just give me enough for today. Just give me enough for today. So I don't have a problem with this hoarding thing, you know. I've won that whole thing. But then all of a sudden, you get consumed with, what about the future? What about finances? Yet the truth is that money will not solve your problems. It will only create greater problems. If we get our eyes on things, he'll get your mind worried about things. You see, material wealth gives a very dangerous false sense of security, and many people have that. I believe it hinders our walk with the Lord, our intimacy with God, because we begin to rely and depend upon things instead of the Lord, or on money in the bank instead of the Lord, or on what we have instead of the Lord. Our only salvation is in Christ. And then we know, and we're not ignorant, and this is the most important thing that Jesus wants to leave us with this morning, of Satan's devices to trip us up. I've come to give you life and much more abundantly. But he's come to steal, to rob, and to kill, and to take away from your life the things that God has given to you. So the Lord wants us to be wise of his devices. Do you remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and the enemy came to Jesus and said, if you will just bow down and worship me, Jesus, I'll give you all the things of the world. You don't have to go to the cross for it. Come on. You can have it all right now. And Jesus came back with the word of God and said, it is written, Satan, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, in him only shalt thou worship. That's a key for us. That he's going to try to get us on the things of the world, our eyes and our affections toward these things, instead of the word of God, and what is written is the most important thing. So Jesus, concerned about this, gives us these number of principles. Live your life with these principles. And then he gives us these arguments. And here in the Sermon on the Mount, he helps us to reason this out. He says, come on. Look what the earth gives and what happens with it. And now look what heaven gives and what happens to it. Come on, let's be reasonable. Which seems better to you? Which would you rather invest in? And he just lets us reason for ourselves and then to make a choice. Verse 25 is where we ended up with last time we were together. And so Matthew 6, verse 25, Jesus continues and says, therefore... Now, you know immediately when you hear a therefore, right? You always have to ask, wherefore is the therefore? Because there's a reason why he says therefore. There's always a wherefore. And the wherefore is what he's been teaching. Because of what I've been sharing with you. Now, I want you to do this. Actually, it's mentioned three times. You know, and I know there's some teachers in here with us this morning, and the best teacher is repetition, isn't it? I mean, just over and over and over and over again. So he says this three times here in a short span of verses. He says it in verse 31, and then he says it in verse 34. Three times. Therefore, take no thought. In other words, therefore, because you've chosen eternal dividends, you realize that you want to put your treasures in heaven. That these things that you're giving in heaven, they're incorruptible. No one can take them away from you. The things you've done for Jesus are going to last, are going to be forever. And because your eye is single, remember, that's what he taught us, not to have the evil eye. The evil eye is the distorted eye. No, your eye is single. You're dedicated to him. You've chosen the best master to serve. Because remember, he said, choose which one you're going to serve. There's only two in this world. There's the Lord God, and then there's the small g God. He calls himself, used to call himself Lucifer, and now he's calling himself Satan because God gave him another name. And in fact, there's about 32 names that he's been given. You got to choose. You're going to serve one or the other. If you're not serving one, you're serving the other. You can't serve them both either. You got to choose which one, because you'll love one and hate the other. So there's no middle of the road. You can't be a lukewarm Christian, can you? It just doesn't work. It's like one foot on the dock and one in the rowboat, and the rowboat is leaving. That hurts. More ways than one. No, we got to make a decision to go for it. It's either all the way with God and Jesus Christ, or not at all. We've got to commit our lives, dedicate our lives. Then we have the single eye that we need to have, dedicated to him, choosing the best master. We're not going to worry. He says, don't worry, be happy. When have you heard that before? Jesus said that. Take no thought. Don't be anxious. And that is really literally what it means. Don't be anxious. Don't stress out. Why? Because it'll strangle your personality. You see, Jesus wants us to be lights in a dark world. But, you know, I've got to say this to you. I've got to be honest. There's a lot of Christians that don't have a lot of light or a lot of joy to pass around. They look like prunes. And you talk to them, hey, how's it going?
I'm under a trial, man.
Ruff, ruff. You know? Okay. You know, I mean, who wants to be like you? Yeah. You're weird, man. I mean, I don't want to be angry all the time and blowing it all the time and under trials all the time. Man, see, he wants to give us glad hearts, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Did you know this, that the fog, and they studied this somehow, in a 7-block area is 7 trillion droplets of water. 7 trillion droplets of water will fill a half a glass. And yet, it is strong enough to shut down an airport. It is strong enough to shut down a whole city. And so something so small has very drastic effects. And this is the same thing that worry has in our lives. It'll shut down your airport. You won't soar with the Lord as you normally have. You'll be bummed. You'll be under it. If you're not careful with worry, it takes away our personality in Christ, the joy of the Lord. So Jesus is saying, listen, you won't starve, you won't dehydrate, you won't go naked. And these things that sometimes we get our eyes upon are distractions. In fact, over in Luke chapter 12 and verse 29, Jesus says, seek not ye what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Don't be stressed out about these things. Don't be concerned about these things. These can give you what they call double vision or two eyes. We talked about this earlier. In other words, two directions you're going in. Like with Martha, I love the story. I mean, Martha was freaked out and concerned about many things. Even Jesus said that. And she was in the kitchen slamming the pans and just, oh, I can't believe Mary's out there. She should be in here with me. What's going on? You know, and she's freaking out in there. As the Lord's in the front room and they're having a study and they hear the twanging and banging of the pans. And then, you know, words that Martha's saying. And then Jesus said, but Mary, she's sitting there and she's got this, you know, this ambition, man. She just, I want to sit at the Lord's feet. I mean, he's here, man. What am I going to do? Go in there with Mary? And I just want to sit here with you. And Jesus said, she did that which was needful. She did the good thing. Martha was distracted and was just losing it. She was stressing, man. She should have probably come in and had a study first, and then she could go back in the kitchen and go, hey, praise the Lord, you know, pass the mashed potatoes, you know. I'd have a whole different idea and attitude. But no, you know, she's got to go in there and stress out. So she was distracted. Mary had the single eye. She was right on. Worldliness, busyness about things, hurts our relationship with the Lord. And God's trying to protect us here. Jesus wants to warn us. He's not talking about being exempt, though, from earning a living. So don't be concerned about earning a living, but you need to earn a living. Because if a man doesn't work, he doesn't what? He doesn't eat. You got to work to eat, guys. That's just the way it is. I remember as a hippie, I had long hair, long beard. I was weird looking. You know, wearing, you know, these leather jackets with all the tingle down and, you know, and holes in my Levi's and just with a pack on my back. And I just, you know, hippies, they looked at the generation that was raising them, which went through the oppression and couldn't give, you know, had anything. And now they want to give everything to their kids, but there was no real love and there's no strong relationship. The hippies just dropped out. See, that was their whole thing. Just drop out. Don't work. You don't work. Work was a cuss word. You know, you don't say it around a hippie. So we just kind of lived off the land, whatever that was. And but then we became Christians. So that's weird. Here's a hippie now that's a Christian. You got to start taking responsibility and start to work. So I went out and I got a job. You know what I did? I went around to all of the, in Downey, all the streets and put the numbers on the curbs. $1 a home. I was rolling in dough. It was the greatest job. And then we would go and behind markets, and when they'd throw out the bad fruit, we had what we called garbage runs. Now, I was living at this time in a communal situation with other hippies that had received Christ, and there was the guys who lived downstairs and the girls lived upstairs, and we were in a home here in Downey, and there was about maybe 20 of us that lived in the house. And so we had a responsibility. We had to feed this house, so we would go to do these garbage runs, and they throw away some good stuff. So God supplied, you know, and we worked. But it was, you know, it was the beginning of good things to come. And God was teaching us. And yet God was supplying and he was blessing us. So we're not exempt from our responsibility for others. In other words, even Paul talking to Timothy said, if you do not provide for your own family, you're worse than an unbeliever. You need to provide for those who God gives you responsibility for.
You're listening to Pastor Jeff Johnson and a message focusing on an issue many of us struggle with, worry. Pastor Jeff Johnson is our Bible teacher. For a copy of today's message on CD, give us a call at 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. You can also listen to our studies in Matthew's Gospel at our website and through our mobile app. We're on the web at sounddoctrineradio.org, and you can download the Sound Doctrine podcast app in the App Store or get it from Google Play. Look for Sound Doctrine wherever you get your podcasts and at oneplace.com. Here at Sound Doctrine, we're committed to helping you build your life on the sound doctrine contained in God's Word, and we have a special resource to recommend that can help you in that endeavor. It's A Passion for Jesus. This is a collection of easy-to-read daily devotions written by Kay Smith, Linnea Heitzik, Karen Johnson, Sharon Reese, Karen Pulley, Gail Mays, and more. Ladies, you'll be greatly encouraged each day as they pour out their hearts, sharing personal experiences of God's faithfulness. I think you'll find it both edifying and encouraging at the same time. Available right now at sounddoctrineradio.org. Then click on store. Or call 800-353-7553. We're grateful for your prayers and partnership. Together we can help people all over the world have access to sound doctrine in God's Word and grow as a result. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Or again, call 800-353-7553. If you find these daily studies encouraging, we'd like to know. You can email us today at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Please also mention the station you listen to. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. There's more to come in the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll pick up where we left off next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. May God richly bless you and strengthen you as you live according to sound doctrine. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel, Downey. So far.